In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a difficult verse in this gospel today. A lot of people don't understand it. I didn't either until I consulted the fathers. And even then, it just took a while for it really to kind of take hold. At the end of the reading from Matthew today, the Lord says, "For even as the lightning cometh forth from the east and appeareth as far as the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." We can understand that. Coming of the Son of Man is very quick. The last coming will be very fast. It won't be something that can be reported. It will just occur. We understand that. But then he says, "For wheresoever the corpse may be, the eagle shall be gathered together." Now, corpse can also be body. But corpse, of course, sounds like a dead body. But we're not talking about a dead body here. We're talking about the body of Christ. Where the body of Christ is, the eagles, that is, it should be you and me. We should be the eagles, are gathered together. Those who believe, even in the midst of Armageddon occurring, even in the midst of terrible, horrible things occurring. Right now in Afghanistan, people are being hunted house to house. Christians are being beheaded slowly with hunting knives. And certainly there must be a lot of torture, and there must be a lot of persecution, and people losing their lands, people losing their houses. And in the midst of that, if there are Orthodox churches, there are three Orthodox churches in Afghanistan. There might be some people hunkered down in a basement somewhere or in a cleft of a rock somewhere. And that indeed will be where the body is, the eagles are gathered together. That's what the meaning of that verse is. Where the believers are, where Christ is where the believers are. And where the believers are is where Christ is. And we're in a world that is just more and more insane every day and more confusing. And we see people we love falling. And perhaps sometimes we wonder if we ourselves would fall. And I get asked questions all the time. What are we going to do next when I lose my job, or if they force me to take the vaccine, or if this happens or that happens? Well, as far as what you do next in terms of those things, I don't know. I guess you do the next thing, whatever that next thing is. But what we do next in terms of being Christians is we gather where the body is. Because where the body is, there are the eagles, and we should be eagles. So we continue to live the Christian life. And we endure to the end. It might be a difficult end. It might be easy for some. It might be very, very, very difficult for others. And what is the real key? I think in the epistle, it kind of just was like a beacon when Augustine said it, that he said that, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. However, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." That's the key. That's the way we live our life. We have to have understanding as men, that is, as humans, as mature people that can make decisions and have an understanding of what is good, what is bad, what is life, what is death, things that I talk about all the time, the remembrance of death, the understanding of what is righteous, what is unrighteous, the inner meaning of things, to have that understanding as men. But that understanding is useless and probably impossible if we don't have malice as children. Now, when he read that, I immediately thought of Esbergler and how beautiful that boy is. There's no malice in him. No malice, just happiness. There's something I do with him that's wonderful. I wish I'd done it with the other boys. I didn't do it. I did a lot of sensing with the other boys and singing and processing with them and things like that. But Ezzy just loves it when I do prostrations. So I go out to his parents' icon corner, and we prostrate, I press it in the floor, and he's laying on his back. Now he can go anywhere he wants now. He used to be just like a turtle, but now he's not. He can do anything he wants. And he will generally stay on his back and just watch me, and will laugh every single time. He'll giggle every time I come down. Sometimes I'll come down and do a prostration on the floor. Sometimes I'll go and I'll bump my forehead against his belly, and he'll laugh. He's just like just a beautiful child without any malice. Without any malice. But he's only 6 months old, right? And eventually there'll be malice in him. How does that happen, huh? How does that happen? We go from that beautiful innocence, from the being loving things that are good and holy, and from just being happy without thoughts of all kinds of things in our head, just happiness. How do we go from that to having that malice as men? You can't have malice as men. You have to have understanding as men. A baby doesn't have understanding, can't make it decisions, really doesn't really know right from wrong yet, doesn't even know about right and wrong. Just knows his parents love him, brother loves him. Just before, when I took care of them on Tuesday, Monster was going to go to school, and which he's really excited about. It's sort of twice a week. And before that, he said, "I got to hug Essie." So we went to hug Essie and just laid next to him and hugged him and as he laughed. And that's a beautiful thing. But that's the way our life should be. So if we have any malice, then what happens is our belief is eroded and we lack this steadfastness. We're sort of on shifting sand when there's malice. And then we get confused. And perhaps we'll get so confused that we'll do something really foolish. Maybe we'll deny the Lord. Maybe we'll do something that's terrible. That's possible. But it's only possible if we lose that goodness that Christ instilled in us, that peace that he instilled in us, that love that he instilled in us. They're not going to be conflicts. And if there are conflicts, there are conflicts. Okay? It is what it is. Sometimes, you know, as a priest, sometimes I have to really step forward and be part of a conflict. And that's not a sin, unless I do it sinfully. And sometimes you have to be part of a conflict, and it's not a sin unless you do it sinfully. But if we are as children, have malice as children, have love for everyone, don't judge anyone. We might judge their conduct. We might try to influence their conduct. We should, absolutely. If you love someone, you don't leave them ignorant. But to have love for someone and also malice, well, that's an oxymoron. To say we love someone and to also be angry about their decisions, that's an oxymoron. I struggle with that sometimes because some of the decisions that people make are just insane. And what can you do? Well, you can do your prostrations. And you can, if you're fortunate enough to have an Esbergler, you can do them with him, and he'll giggle when you do them. And I once did him for 10 minutes straight, and he just stayed right there. Can you imagine? Just stayed right there watching me, giggling. Eventually, he'll be doing them himself, right? Not yet, but he's coming along quickly. When Noah does them, he jumps. He actually does like a short jump and lands on his knees and hands and knees. You try that. You'll probably be able to do it once, one time. And then you'd have to take some ibuprofen and some ice. But he's so light and everything. He just jumps and lands straight on his knees. Oh, I don't even want to think about doing it myself. But he gets real excited about doing it. So we should be, as children, when it comes to malice, and as men when it comes to understanding. And I think the key is that where the corpse is, where the body is, the eagles are gathered. Life is not easy at all. Life is going to get harder, absolutely. Every day I hear stories about Christians and non-Christians alike that are in very straitened circumstances, terrible circumstances. They're making decisions that are just very much horrible decisions. They can't make a good decision. If they do the right thing, terrible things happen to them. If they do the wrong thing, well, they've done a terrible thing. These are very difficult decisions. Maybe they're not difficult to make, but they're certainly hard to live with because we're human beings and because things are hard. So the key is to endure, and not just to endure by gritting our teeth, because nobody can endure by doing that. You endure by actively living, by actively prostrating, by actively praying, by singing the Psalter. I think everybody should be saying the Psalter. The Psalter is the solution. It's all there. You just got to read it over and over again. And as you read it over and over again, you'll get it. It'll take time, but it's all there. All the answers are there for sure. And doing prostrations for people, maybe being on our knees and praying the Jesus prayer or praying Most Holy Theotokos Save Us. We started doing that in the church with the Malebans. And at home, I often will be on my knees and pray 300 Jesus prayers. There's something very powerful about that because really we can't affect anything in the world. We can't even affect the way anybody believes or thinks or does. Sometimes we can't even affect the way we believe or think or do very easily. Or we might believe one way and do another, but we can endure and we can be where the corpse is, where the body is. We can come to the services, we can take the holy mysteries, we can pray, we can fast, we can struggle, and throughout all this stuff, with all this confusion, and there's going to be more, for sure there's going to be more. Even if you're just a secular historian, we're already 21 years into this century. Well, by the time we were 21 years into the last century, what was happening? There was war. I mean, world war. And then there was another one. And then there was conflicts that were basically like wars. And then there was 50 million people being killed in Red China, at least. And who knows how many in Russia? Maybe 25 million? Maybe 15 or 20 million? Who knows? In Germany? Maybe 5 million in Cambodia? Maybe a few less than that. You know, when you're talking millions, who's counting? You know, it's just huge numbers of people that are being liquidated.
and are being forced from their homes and their children taken from them and everything else. All that happened in the past century. This century is, despite the fact that people are thinking crazy and acting crazy, and that we seem to have an apparatus that's being installed worldwide for that will be very good for oppression, really it's been a very pretty clean century compared to the last century. But it's not going to stay that way. We know that because just look at history. And we know people are sort of losing their moorings. They're losing their moral compass. Even in the church, I see this happening. So what are we going to do? Well, we can talk about it and we can watch YouTube videos about it. And that's, I don't recommend doing too much of that. Doing a few, but do too many of them. And then that's just the problem. Well, what's the solution? The solution is what we just read about. Where the body is, the eagles will be gathered together. And he who endures to the end will be saved. And be, regarding malice, be as children. But regarding understanding, be as men. There's the solution right there. We do it. And if we do those things, we will endure. And there might be a few around us that are influenced by us. Some very important people might be influenced by us. And they might be saved. That's the solution. That's it. There's nothing else. All the practical stuff, well, it's going to be there. And it's going to be hard to do sometimes, and we're not going to know what to do. And, you know, maybe we'll be opening our homes to people, and I think all that stuff's going to happen. And stockpiling drugs and doing all kinds of stuff. And we should be doing that stuff. But in the midst of doing all that stuff, we have to have malice like children, understanding as men, and endure to the end. So we have to be where the body is. We have to worship with the body. We have to worship at home. We have to have a intensity, and then everything is going to be okay. There'll be terrible things that are happening, but the soul will not be affected. And I tell these guys in prison this all the time. I say it so often because it's comforting to them, but it's really become the most comforting thing in my life. And that is that all the regrets you have, all the losses you have, they're gone in the next life. Whether you remember them or not, I don't know. The Lord has not revealed that. But I know that if you do remember them, there'll be no sadness. How can that be? Can you think of great losses in your life without sadness? It's not possible, is it? In the next life, it will be. We won't have any sorrow or sadness or sighing, only life everlasting. And we should comfort one another with this reality. That's the reality, not what the world tells us. That's the reality. In the next life, there will be no sorrow or sadness or sighing, only life everlasting. No matter what happens to us here, whether it be good or terrible, no matter what happens to our loved ones here, no matter what happens to the church, no matter what happens to our society, whether we're hungry or cold or naked, or our loved ones are, whether we see people that lose their mind, that used to be clear thinking, whether sometimes we feel a little bit not quite right in our mind because it's so hard. All of that goes away. All of it, 100%. And there's no sickness or sorrow or sign, but life everlasting. So that's the way we live. That's what we got to do. People ask you, what am I going to do next? I'm about to lose my job. What am I going to do next? This is happening. What am I going to do next? That's the answer. That's only the answer for spiritual people. And I mean spiritual people, not necessarily Orthodox Christians, right? There's a lot of Orthodox Christians that are not spiritual people. We better not be among those groups, right? We better be Orthodox Christians and spiritual people. Whether we're sinful or not, well, that's one thing. I'm not so concerned about that. It's whether or not we look at life in a spiritual way. If we do, God will help us. That's the solution, as simple as can be. Not easy, but as simple as can be. That's the solution. So we have to learn to be as infants when it comes to malice, when it comes to anger, when it comes to judgment. And we have to be as men when it comes to judgment, as men when it comes to understanding, as men when it comes to understanding what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, how we should act, what we should do. God will help us. God will help us endure to the end. God bless you. This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website, and the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons, and on YouTube, they are found at orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.